Good to see you and good to be in the house of the Lord. And I hope that you're having a good Sunday today. If you're visiting with us today, you picked a great Sunday to be here as we're kicking off a new series entitled Be Bold. And in this series, we will be in the book of 2 Timothy. And if you happen to miss any of the messages in this series, I know as we kind of enter into summer, people begin to travel and do things, and so I understand that. And so you can always go online on our website at stoneridgecc.com, and you can watch those messages. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching and listening live right now. Well, as I said, in this series, we'll be in the book of 2 Timothy. And what do we know about Timothy? What do we know about Timothy? Well, Timothy was timid. Timothy was actually timid. What do we know about the man who wrote the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul wasn't timid. He was the exact opposite. So it seemed like a good match, a mentor-protege relationship in which Paul could encourage Timothy in his walk in relationship with the Lord and his sharing his faith with others. And so Timothy was timid. Paul wasn't. Why wasn't Paul timid? Because he knew who he belonged to and what God had called him to do. Who did he belong to? Well, he belonged to the Lord. He belonged to God. And what had God called him to do? Well, there's one key phrase here as we start this book off, and it's to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Jesus Christ. And that really is what you and me should be doing. We should be telling others, let me tell you about the life God has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. Let's jump right in the scripture here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And it starts like this. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. He says, I have been sent out to tell others. Not just Paul has been sent out, but you and me have been sent out to tell others. Our brothers and sisters, our mom and dad, our cousins, our family, the people we work with, our neighbors, the people we see at Walmart. We've been sent out to tell others about what? About the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you about this life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what we should be telling people. I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. I love him like he's my son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. So who was Paul writing this letter to? It wasn't just to Timothy, but he was writing this letter to you and me. We have been chosen by the will of God. You and me. God chose you and me. You might think, well, I never get chosen. I never get picked. No, God picked you to be on his team, right? He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. So we've been chosen by the will of God. What have we been chosen to do? Well, to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. Are we doing that? Are we telling other people about this life as a Christian? My fear is that a lot of times we're not doing that. And why is that? I think perhaps because we're just like Timothy. Sometimes we're just timid, or we're afraid to do that ourselves. And we shouldn't be. Why? Because we've been given grace, mercy, and peace. What does grace, mercy, and peace do? What do those things do for us? Well, grace allows us to be ourselves. And there's nothing more freeing than that, that you and me can just be ourselves, be who God created us to be. We don't have to be anybody else, but who God created us to be. Mercy is given to us when we mess up. And every one of us messes up at one time or another. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so it's good to know that we can be forgiven when we mess up. And peace, man, do we need peace today, don't we? Not only in our lives, but in this crazy world we live in. Peace is a byproduct of being connected to Jesus. So grace, mercy, and peace have been given to us, and that should be freeing to us. Well, what is it I want you to know? What is it I want you to know? I want you to know that you are enough. That you are enough. Middle schooler, high schooler, college student, mom, dad, coach. You are enough. You are forgiven. You can rest. You are enough. You are forgiven. And you can rest. Why am I telling you these things? Because I think you need to hear them today. I think you need to hear them today. The world will tell you that you're not enough. They will try to convince you to be someone you're not. However, you don't answer to the people who belong to this world. You answer to the Lord. You answer to Jesus. And what is Jesus have to say about you? He says you are more than enough, you are forgiven, and you can rest in me. I think Timothy felt like he wasn't enough. I think Timothy felt like he wasn't enough, like he didn't measure up. And perhaps that's why he broke down and wept when they parted, when he and the Apostle Paul parted ways. Do you remember what Paul had to say to Timothy? First he said to him, he told Timothy, I pray for you. I pray for you. I thank God for you. So the first thing he told Timothy is, I thank God for you. The second thing he told Timothy was that he was praying for him. And the third thing he told Timothy is that he longed to see him again as they parted ways. Let's continue on here in verses 3 and 4. Timothy, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. The God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I'm praying for you, Timothy. I want to see you grow in your walk and your faith and relationship with the Lord. I want to see you share your faith with others. I'm praying for you. I long to see you again. I'm continuing on in my missionary journey, and I've left you here for a reason and a purpose, right? And I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. Well, here's a question for you. Who is it that you're thanking God for? Who in your life are you thanking God for? Who are you praying for and longing to see again? We all need people like this in our lives. I thank God for you. And I do pray for you. And I long to see you when you're not here. Monica and I are always talking about people we haven't seen in a while. And it's not because we're gossiping. We think, man, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. I wonder how they're doing. In fact, this morning when I saw Jerry, that's the first thing I said to him, man, I've been thinking about you and haven't seen you in a while. What have you been up to? I missed you, right? Who is it you pray for, that you thank God for, and you long to see again? Monica and I do that with you. We think about you. We pray for you. And we want you to grow in your walk, in relationship, and your faith with the Lord. We try our best to remember your names and your faces when we see you. In fact, as we drive here on Sunday morning, and as we're praying in the car, one of the things I always pray is, Lord, help us to connect with the people you want us to connect with today. Help us to remember their name and connect with them, Lord Jesus. Because so many people come in and out of our doors. God blesses this church. His hand of blessing is upon it as he brings us people all the time. What else did Paul remember about Timothy? What did he remember about him? His genuine faith. His genuine faith. Where did he say this faith came from? He said it came from his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Paul was convinced that the same faith continued strong in Timothy. However, Timothy needed to be reminded that it did. He felt timid. He was weak. He needed to be reminded, hey, you have the same faith living in you. Why did he need to be reminded? Because Timothy at times felt weak and unloved. However, that's just not true. Paul says this in verses 5 through 7. I remember, Timothy, your genuine faith. For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I think about my mom and her faith. It's always inspired me and encouraged me. Every time my mom sends me a card, she always writes scripture in it to remind me of what's true and the good things that God has in store for me. And so I think about the faith that is in my mom. Right? So Timothy says, I remember that faith. That maybe you see that in your grandparent or in your mom or in a family member. And Paul continues on. He says, and I know that same faith continues strong in you, Timothy. I see Jesus in you, Timothy. I see that faith. This is why I remind you to fan in the flame the spiritual gift that God gave you. And when I laid my hands on you, for God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of what? Of power, love, and self-discipline. That's what he has given us, Timothy. And I want to remind you of these things, to remind you of what's true. You too may at times feel weak and unloved. Maybe you're here today and you're like, yeah, Ed, I'm feeling kind of lonely today. I'm feeling kind of out of sorts today. I just feel kind of weak and unloved. And what I want to tell you is that's just not true. God loves you. God loves you. He sent his one and only son to die for you on the cross that you may have eternal life. God loves you and he has given you a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. What is it then I want you to do? I want you to fan into flame the spiritual gift God gave you. To fan into flame the spiritual gift God gave you. What does that mean? It means you need to develop the gift God gave you. Whether you realize it or not, God has given you a gift. What is it? Well, it's up to you to discover it and to use it to make a difference in the lives of others. By the way, in our membership class, we give you a spiritual gift inventory. There's also a link that we give you. We give you a hard copy and a link, and maybe you're here today and you're saying, Ed, I just haven't been able to get in that class or hasn't fit my schedule. Will you come to me and talk to me, and I'll help you with that and give you that link or that form? Or you can go on Google, and you can just put in spiritual gift assessment or spiritual gift inventory, and there'll be all kinds of free forms that you can fill out there on the internet to help you. A lot of you know the areas where you're gifted in. Timothy, I believe, knew where he was gifted. However, he just needed encouragement and a reminder. How do we know that he needed an encouragement? Well, because Paul told him to never be ashamed when it came to telling others about Jesus. I think at times Timothy may have been timid or afraid, maybe even ashamed. And how do we know this? Because Paul told him to never be ashamed when it came to telling others about Jesus. Nor should he be ashamed because Paul was in prison. Instead, he too should be ready to suffer for the sake of the good news. Listen to what Paul says here in verse 8. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, about Jesus. I think sometimes we can act that way. We can kind of of get into a shell and say, I don't know if I should talk to this person or not. I don't know how they're going to react if I invite them to church or if I tell them about Jesus. And so we just kind of back away. And all the while, we feel like the Holy Spirit is prompting us, is urging us to tell them. And we kind of back away. And sometimes we act as if we are ashamed, right? Paul says, and don't be ashamed of me either, even though I am in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Are we ready to suffer for the sake of the good news? Are we ready to do that? I don't think so. Sometimes I'm not even sure if we're willing to be inconvenienced. I mean, when's the last time we stopped to ask someone how they're doing, followed by, is there anything I can pray for you? Is there anything I can pray for you for? You see, everybody needs prayer, right? However, sometimes I think we're just afraid to ask. But depending on how they answer, it can lead to a real spiritual conversation. On Friday, Monica and Eden and I were in the Nashville airport in Tennessee, and we got there a little early, and so we were just sitting there waiting, passing time away, and about 5 or 10 seats over, I saw a guy that just kind of had his head down, and he just looked discouraged to me. There's something about him and his mannerisms and the way he was acting, and Monica, I glanced over at her, and she looked back at me, and she's like, yeah, and so I'm like, okay. So I went over and I started talking to him, and he just started bawling, crying. And I said to him, is there anything I can pray for you for? And he looked at me and he said, you know, I struggle with alcohol. I got a problem with alcohol. And so we just began to talk, and I began to share my story with him, and he opened up and began to ask some questions, and all of a sudden, we had a real spiritual conversation simply because I asked him, is there anything I can pray for you for? What do we find out when we have a real spiritual conversation with people? You know what we find out? We find out that most people are not only hurting in some way, form, or fashion, and a lot of times we just kind of stuff that hurt down. We don't talk about it. We don't let anyone else know about it until it's reached such a point that it just kind of erupts and boils over, and we're sharing it with a stranger in an airport that we don't even know. But God knew that we would be there, and he put us together. And so here it is. We're having this conversation about the Lord. And I find out that not only is this man hurting, but he's lost. Man, is he lost. A lot of people today think that they're a good person, but they're not. That's the first thing you said to me. I'm a good person. No, you're not a good person. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner? Yeah, you're a sinner. A lot of people think that they deserve to go to heaven. They don't. What is it we need to tell them? We need to tell them the good news. What's the good news? Well, Paul tells us right here in verses 9 and 10. Here it is. For God saved us and called us to live a holy life. It was God who saved us and has called us to live a holy life. He did this. Why? Why did he save us and call us to live a holy life? Not because of anything we have done, right? Not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time. To what? Show us his grace, to show us his love through Christ Jesus. And now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Christ Jesus, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. Right now you may be saying, well, Ed, I don't know if I can remember all that. Right, if I can remember these verses in this passage here that I can just quote it and spit it out when I see someone, that's okay. Then you just tell them what God is doing in your life. Right? You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know everything in the Bible. You just tell them what God is doing in your life, how He's changed you and made you into a new person. You share your story with them. You share your story with them. Why? Because it's personal. And no one can argue with your story. God chose Paul to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. And that's why he was suffering in prison. Was he ashamed? No. Why? Because he knew the one in whom he trusted. He knew God was able to guard what he had entrusted to him. What is it that Paul had entrusted to God? His heart. Paul gave God his heart. Continuing on verses 11 and 12. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That's why I am suffering here in prison, but I'm not ashamed of it. For I know the one in whom I trust, and I'm sure that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return, until the day he comes back. I've given him my heart, and I know he's going to take care of it. The question is, does God have your heart? Does God have your heart today? Or does the sport have your heart? Or does the boy have your heart? Or does the girl have your heart? Or does this thing have your heart? What has a hold of your heart today? Does God have your heart? Because the only thing that matters is your relationship with Him. Does He have your heart? Or is it somewhere else? Or given to someone else? Your heart and your life belong to Jesus. God chose you to share His good news. And we are so unworthy of that. Nevertheless, He chose you and me to do that. Will you suffer? Will we suffer when we share it? Possibly some awkwardness. There's always a little bit of awkwardness. However, that's nothing compared to what we will hear when He returns. What will those of us who share this good news, who tell our brothers or sisters, our mom or dad, relatives, cousins, neighbors, friends, who share this good news, what will we hear when He returns? When we share the good news that Jesus loves them, that He died for them on the cross for their sins, past and present, what are we going to hear? Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Those are words I want to hear, right? That's what I want to hear. If we want to hear those words, then what do we need to do? We need to hold on to the wholesome teaching we receive from Paul. God's Word. It's alive and active. That's what we need to hold on. What do we know about this teaching? Paul says it's shaped by the faith and love that we have in Christ Jesus. How do we guard this precious truth that has been entrusted to us? How do we guard this? Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Listen to what Paul says here in verses 13 and 14. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me. Hold on to God. Hold on to His Word. It's a pattern shaped by the faith and love that we have in Christ Jesus. What do we have in Jesus? We have faith and we have love. Hold on to this. Don't let go of it. How do we do this? Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us. When do we receive His Holy Spirit? The moment we place our faith in Jesus Christ. Having believed, you are marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the day of His redemption. The moment you put your faith in Jesus, He seals you up with His Spirit. Carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to us. Don't take this is for granted. What you've been given is a gift. What we've been given is a gift, and it's His Word. How do we, what happens when we make this commitment to guard this precious truth, to hold on to it dearly? What happens when we make this commitment to do this? There will be some people who will desert us or no longer be our friends. Right? It's just going to happen. When you're sold out to living for Jesus and talking about Him and telling other people in your family about Him, there will be some who will just desert you or no longer be your friend. And you have to be okay with that. You should be okay with that. But it's hard. It's not easy. But it's going to happen. Think about all the years that I've been here. 13 years. There have been a lot of people who have deserted me and are no longer my friend. I wish they were. I wish they were here, but they're not. Others will be encouraged. Others will be encouraged when they see your strong commitment to the Lord, that you're committed to Him and His Word and to the truth. They'll be encouraged and they'll follow in your steps. And because of this, we, like Paul, will thank God for these people. Listen to what Paul says about those who stood by him and with him in sharing the truth. He says this, "As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me. They've left me, even Philages and Hermogenes. May the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus and all his family, because he often," here's the key part, "he often visited and encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. May the Lord show special kindness on the day of Christ's return." May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return. "And you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus." Well, who is it you're visiting and encouraging today? Who is it that you're visiting and encouraging today? My prayer is that it would be with someone you know who doesn't know the Lord. Now, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can all use encouragement as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. But who are you visiting and encouraging that you know who doesn't know Jesus? Who doesn't know the Lord? My prayer is that you would be visiting and encouraging someone you know who doesn't know the Lord. And we all have people like that in our lives, right, who are far from the Lord. You can think of someone right now, someone you work with, someone you see every day. They're like, "Man, that person is lost." Right? That's the person you need to talk to. That's the person you need to go to. Well, they're never going to turn to the Lord. Nothing's impossible with God. Start praying for that person. And ask them if you can pray for anything for them. Is there anything in their life? You ask them a few times and eventually they're going to say, "You know what? There is something." Right? And you have no idea where that conversation is going to lead, but it's going to open up a door. They need to know Jesus has broken the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality. They need to know that Jesus has taken away our greatest fear in life. And what's that? What's our greatest fear in life? The fear of dying. The fear of dying. Hebrews 2 14 and 15, as we wrap up here with these verses. "Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood." Thinking about the conversation I had with that guy there. We were talking about Jesus being fully God and fully man. He was like, "No." And I'm like, "No, he is fully God and fully man." Right, we went into this long discussion about it. Jesus never sinned. Eventually he goes, "Yeah, maybe you're right." "For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We all have that fear, that obligation that we will one day have to face. However, Jesus has taken that fear away. And since Jesus has taken away our greatest fear in life, we have nothing left to fear. We have nothing left to fear. Sometimes we walk around like we're afraid, but we shouldn't. We've been given a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline, not a spirit of timidity. Therefore, we shouldn't be ashamed when it comes to telling others about Jesus. What should we be? What should we be? We should be bold, right? Because of what Jesus has done for us, we should be bold. Let me tell you about the life God has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you about the life you can have. I'm looking at your life right now, and it doesn't look very good. So in essence, what I was telling this guy. Let me tell you about the life you can have in Jesus. Let me tell you what Jesus has for you. Jesus forgives you. Jesus loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for you, and Jesus can deliver you from your situation. Maybe you're here today and you're like, yeah, I need it. I need all that, Ed. Well, it's available to you. All you got to do is ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins and to be your Lord and Savior. And He will begin to work a change in your heart and in your life. He'll take that cold, hard, stubborn heart and replace it with a new heart. What had Paul entrusted God with? His heart. Do you trust God with your heart? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's powerful and it's convicting. Maybe you're here this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed and you say, Ed, I've never trusted God with my heart. I've never fully released it to Him. And I've been holding on to some things that I just need to let go of today. And one of them is my heart. I need to give my heart to the Lord. If that's your desire, then I want to lead you in a prayer that you pray softly and quietly in your heart as you repeat these words after me. And here they are. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. I ask you to come into my heart and change me and make me like you. If you just pray that prayer, God will honor that prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, Ed, I'm a Christian, but I just haven't been sharing my faith with anyone. I feel like in some way I have been ashamed to do that. I haven't been bold in doing that. And I know there's people in my family, people where I work, people where I see every day, and I can see that they're lost. I can see that they're hurting. Would you pray for me that God would help me to be bold and would give me the strength and the courage to talk to them about the Lord or to ask them if I could pray for them, if there's anything I can pray for them? Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I pray for myself in this area, that this week, even today, that you would help us to step out in faith and trust you, Lord, that when we see whoever it is that you put in our path this afternoon and this week, that we may see them through your eyes, and that you may give us the words to say, that it would not be us speaking, but you speaking through us by the power of your Holy Spirit that is in us. We pray that you prepare the hearts of these people for the message that you have for them, that they may come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior and experience a life